Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is Renee. Welcome to Renee's Heart to Heart. Well, we made it through another weekend. Quite a lot of rainstorms last night. We had a birthday party here at my house for my youngest grandson, AJ, that I talk to all of you about all the time. But we made it through the whole party before it started thundering and the lightning, so we're happy about that. I want to talk about a few things today. One of them is finance, because we ended the show Friday morning talking about how difficult it is to make ends meet today. And I saw more things on TV this weekend about how many college graduates don't seem to be able to make ends meet even after they graduate from college. There was a particular story about a young man who is a college graduate and is working three jobs and is still living with his mom. And as you know, I've talked about this before. I do believe that it is a sign of the times that a lot of us are gathering together and helping each other in our homes and what have you. And it works for us. I don't know that it would work for everybody because everybody's personalities are different. And if you've lived by yourself for a very long time, then in a lot of cases it's too hard for you to share your space. So I get that. But I do think that it's something that would work. When Shelley joins us this morning, she has some ideas on how to show you how to ask for help and the different places that you can go for some help. But before we get to that story, I wanted to make sure that everybody knew about this young girl that was posted on Facebook last week. She only 12 years old, and she lived in Tampa, Florida, and she committed suicide because at some points in time, I guess there was many 15 girls that were harassing her and picking on her. Finally, even though she had done the things we talked about, she shared with her mom and did everything that we tell the kids that they should be doing, it didn't make any difference. She still didn't win her battle. And I think that in a lot of cases, that's truly what happens. But I want to read this story. It's a quick one. We're going to talk about it a little bit because there's just way too much of this going on, and it's heartbreaking. Imagine having a child that you love more than life itself, and just because of other kids who, for whatever reasons, have decided to single them out and not like them, and not just not like them, but pick on them, and it drives them to suicide. I can't even imagine. For nearly a year, as many as 15 girls ganged up on 12-year-old Rebecca Ann Sedgwick and picked on her, bombarding her with online messages such as, "You should die, why don't you go kill yourself?" Rebecca couldn't take it anymore. She changed one of her online screen names to that dead girl. She messaged a boy in North Carolina saying, "I'm jumping." And then on Monday, the Lakeland girl went to an abandoned concrete plant, climbed a tower, and hurled herself to her death. The bullying started over a boyfriend issue last year at Crystal Lake Middle School. There aren't any details except for that's apparently what the surviving kids are sharing with the police. Police said Rebecca was suspended at one point for fighting with a girl who used to be her friend. Rebecca had been absolutely terrorized by other girls. The detective said he found some of her diaries at home, and she talked about how depressed she was about the situation. Her writings would break your heart, he said. The case is illustrated once more the ways in which youngsters are using the internet to torment others. There's a lot of digital drama. Middle school kids are horrible to each other, especially girls. This comment is from Perry Aftab, a New Jersey-based lawyer and expert on cyberbullying. Last December, Rebecca was hospitalized for 3 days after cutting her wrists because of what she said was bullying, according to the sheriff. Later, after Rebecca complained that she had been pushed in the hallway and that another girl wanted to fight her, Rebecca's mother began homeschooling her in Lakeland, a city of about 100,000, midway between Tampa and Orlando. This fall, Rebecca started at a new school, Lawton Childs Middle School, Academy, and loved it. But the bullying continued online. She put on a perfect, happy face. She never told me, Rebecca's mother, Tricia Norman, told the Lakeland Ledger. I never had a clue. I mean, she told me last year when she was being bullied, but not this year, and I have no idea why. After Rebecca's suicide, police looked at her computer and found search queries such as, what is overweight for a 13-year-old girl, how to get blades out of razors, and how many over-the-counter drugs do you have to take to die? Ugh. One of her screensavers also showed Rebecca with her head resting on a railroad track. Oh, my gosh. Police said that she had met the North Carolina boy at an airport and that they had remained friends online. The 12-year-old boy didn't tell anyone about the I'm jumping, I can't take it anymore message he received from her on Monday morning, shortly before her suicide. Detectives said the other girl's parents have been cooperative. Florida has a bullying law, but it leaves punishment to schools, not police. Legal experts said it's difficult to bring charges against someone accused of driving a person to suicide. We've had so many suicides that are related to digital harassment, but we also have free speech laws in this country. In a review of news articles, the Associated Press found about a dozen suicides in the U.S. since October 2010 that were attributed, at least in part, to cyberbullying. The policeman that, or the detective that's looking into this, says that she believes the real number is at least twice that. In 2006, a 13-year-old, Megan Meyer, hanged herself in Missouri after she was dumped online by a fictitious teenage boy created in part by an adult neighbor, Lori Drew, authorities said. A jury found Drew guilty of three federal misdemeanors, but a judge threw out the verdicts and acquitted her. Florida's law, the Jeffrey Johnson Stand Up for All Students Act, was named after a teenager who killed himself after being harassed by classmates. The law was amended July 1st to cover cyberbullying. David Torella, a Florida attorney who lobbied for the law and has handled dozens of cyberbullying cases, said law enforcement can also seek more traditional charges. The truth is, even without these school bullying laws, there's battery, there's stalking. You know, I got to say, we have talked about this at length with Izzy, who hasn't been able to be on the show since I changed it to morning. But I am in total agreement with the many conversations I've had with him in regard to making laws about activity that is, it's like, it's not even as good as getting a threatening letter, because kids are so smart, and unless you get technical people involved, other kids know how to remove everything from the internet or close an account. Every one of my teenage grandchildren know what to do with their accounts, to open them, close them, change them, whatever they need to do. The point is that somehow, some way, we have got to get back to the fact that it's not okay to be this mean to each other. I had a birthday party for AJ yesterday, and we invited 14 kids from his class. 3 kids showed up, and of course all the family was here, so it was a great party. But I had a long conversation with a couple of the parents, and we talked a little bit about how kids adjust if somebody's picking on them or being mean to them and everything. Now, these are kindergartners, first graders, and second graders. They're not involved yet in the internet, in Facebook, and all the things that go with the internet. So in truth, they're the happiest. In most cases, all they're looking for is somebody to be nice to them, somebody who wants to be friends with them, somebody who wants to play with them. How simple can you get? And I watched yesterday, and we had a wide range of people here. We had brown kids, we had black kids, we had white kids, we had all kinds of kids. And the wonderful thing about that age is that doesn't matter. All that matters is that they want to be their friend. So what happens? I don't know what takes place, but in there somehow, everything changes. And I fear, more than anything, it's from us. It's from the grown-ups. It's our taint that gets put on our kids. It's our inability to grow up. It's our inability to cope. That's what is brushing off on these kids. You know, you can't look at a child. I've counseled some kids that are hurting themselves. I've counseled kids that are having a lot of trouble staying in a place that is happy. And it's very difficult because they give you lip service, you know, because I'm always lucky. Kids always take to me and are respectful of the things I say. But I know that they're not really taking it in. They're looking at me and shaking their head, yes, yes, Grandma, or yes, Miss Rini, or yes, okay, yes, I'll try harder. But at the end of the day, there's something so deep inside of them already by the time they're 13, 14, and 15 years old that I couldn't touch it. And I don't think anybody else can either. So something has to stop much earlier on. Something has to change much earlier on. And part of it is how you teach them to get along with each other and how you protect that innocence that they have when they're really, really young. I was always lucky in regard to that. My kids didn't have those kind of struggles. I will say that they developed lots of other struggles as they became teenagers, between drugs and alcohol and everything that goes with all that stuff. They certainly had their problems. But I think that gets into a place of choice, and that gets into a place of who you're friends with, what everybody else is doing, and what kind of a habit you fall into. And we've talked at length on the show about how a lot of things are hereditary, and certainly having habits that you become dependent on is hereditary. But all I'm talking about right now is being nice to each other. And I will tell you, I had kids as young as 6 here yesterday, all the way up to 17. And they all got along beautifully, all day long. And I knew I was going to read about this story this morning, and I watched them, and I thought to myself, what happened? What takes place to change all this? The changes that take place in their bodies? Maybe. Money. I'm sure money and material things play a part in some of the turmoil that goes on in their heads. Who's got the most expensive pair of sneakers on? Whose mom dropped them off in the old Ford pickup and whose mom dropped them off in the Mercedes? I think all those things play into different things. But at the end of the day, it's still about the child themselves. Why they find it necessary to pick out one person and be mean to them. Somebody has to figure out what's going on there. And there has to be more talk in school about being socially educated. I also talked with the parents yesterday about kindergarten and first grade and how much homework is involved. And I told them that I have been to many meetings with teachers, with the mayor in Broward County. I have talked to people about too much homework in these early grades. You know, years ago, kindergarten was established so that kids could leave mommy and brothers and sisters and home and function for 5 to 7 hours a day without mommy being there. Now, you have to know how to read, or at least be able to pick out, I think it's like 100 sight words, and know what they say by the time you leave kindergarten. So what happens is all those social educations get dropped by the wayside. And that's when they're the most social, is when they're in that classroom with all those different kids. That's when they have to learn how to be aware of the differences of other people and embrace them, not ridicule them, not figure out a way to fight with them about the fact that they're different than they are. There has to be a camaraderie that evolves only when there's adults involved in the whole situation so that the kids can learn the right way to get along with each other. Then, when they come home from kindergarten and first grade, they have all kinds of homework. So even then, when they get home, and they should have an opportunity again for the family that we all talk about, it's disintegration in today's world, they have homework to do. So you end up fighting with a kid about their homework, fighting with them getting it done, telling them they have to get it done before they can go play. Does everybody understand that even a 5 and 6 and 7 year old gets angry? Does everybody understand that? And what happens when you get angry? What happens when you're upset about something and you're angry? Say you have a fight with your husband or your wife this morning and you go into the workplace. Is that fight that you had with your spouse going to affect the way the rest of your day goes? You bet your damn booty it is. It's going to have everything to do with how you function today. And it's the same thing with a kid. I don't care how old they are. So somehow, some way, we have got to get back to being supportive and loving and caring about everybody, not just people that we pick and choose. And if you're an adult and you see that a whole bunch of kids are ganging up on one kid, it's your job. It's your job to do something about that, not to ignore it, or not to, you know, shake your head like, oh, my God, what are they thinking? You got to get involved in it and figure out what you can do to help that child that's being harassed. You know, I've been in restaurant work. Not anymore. I'm too old. It's too long on my feet all day. When I was a young woman, I enjoyed it. And I loved the people I met. But I will tell you, there is not a cattier bunch of girls living than waitresses. But all you need is one person that works there to keep everybody on an even keel, to keep everybody understanding that you're not going to tolerate picking on one girl because she's different than the rest of you, or slower, or faster, or makes more tips, or makes less tips, or anything. One person can change that whole momentum. If there isn't that one person, that it becomes a landslide, because we're all very, I don't know, it's like a draw to jump on a bandwagon and to pick on one person. It gets rid of all of your anger and your hostility and everything to be able to pick on one person. And it's a terrible thing, but it's true. And I see, like I said, I see grown-ups doing it. I see family members doing it. I see family members picking on one family member, and for whatever reasons. Maybe they talk about too many things. Maybe they share too much private stuff. And then when they leave the room, everybody talks about them. So if it happens in a family, you know it's going to happen in a classroom. You know it's going to happen at a social activity. But the whole idea is that somebody is being driven in a very fast-moving car to jump off a big, giant cliff. And when they're only 12 years old, 11 years old, somebody should be paying attention. Now, this mom states that when her daughter changed schools, she didn't tell her anything. And I think part of it is because the internet has such a draw, and I want everybody to think about this, has such a draw that they're afraid that if they tell you that that's happening to them on the internet, you're going to tell them that they can't get on the internet anymore. And that's why they don't want to share with you, because you're going to take away something that gives them that much freedom, because they can do anything on the internet. Anything. They can read about things that are not any of their business at this point in time when they're this young. They can say things that nobody can do anything about. There's a lot of things about the internet that gives them the freedom of an adult. So if they share with you that something like this is happening to them on Facebook or on Twitter, or just in just messaging each other with a cell phone. That's another thing. You think there's a teenager out there that's got a cell phone that's going to let you take their cell phone away because somebody's picking on them? Try again. So they're not going to share with you if that's where that stuff is going on, because they're afraid, and I'm pretty sure you would say, okay, you got to stay off the internet, or give me your phone. If you don't have a phone, they can't. Text you and say this mean stuff to you. That'll end that. Then you're taking away another amazing thing for a kid. So they're not going to share with you if it's going on the phone. They're not going to share with you if it's going on Facebook. You know, most teenagers have two Facebook accounts. One that mom and dad think that they're a part of, and then one that mom and dad don't know anything about. I hope you're all aware of that. I hope you all know that that's true. If you don't, check into it, because I'm pretty sure I'm right. And you're going to find out that there's a lot of things going on that you don't know anything about. And, of course, that's been for generations. Generations, kids have done things that mom and dad, I've heard moms and dads. Matter of fact, that's one of my favorite stories, my mother telling me as a child that she would never say I wouldn't do something, even though she'd like to believe I wouldn't. She would never say it because she could remember hearing her own mother saying, oh, my children would never smoke. And mom said, I'm the one that used to go get the corn silk so that we could all go out in the barn and smoke. And I never forgot her telling me that, and it's true. You don't know. Even when you are totally involved in your kids, they have secrets from you, just like you have secrets from them. So they're not going to tell you if they're getting harassed on Facebook, because then you're going to take away the internet. They're not going to tell you that they're getting harassed on the phone, because then you're going to want to take away the phone. So you have to think another way or figure out another way to find out. And I would say to you that if something's going on with your kid, you've been with them since the day they were born. You should know something's wrong. And if that means you have to look at their private stuff, go in their room. Somebody asked me that the other day. Did you ever go through your daughter's room? And I said, all the time. And everybody looked at me so shocked. I can't believe you would do that, Renee. I said, why? When she was 13 years old, she was my responsibility, not her own responsibility. She was my responsibility. And you have to know what's going on with your kids. And certainly, if they're 12, you should be looking at everything they do. I don't care what it is. And there might be people out there that are thinking to themselves, you know, what a control freak, what a this, what a that. Well, I'm sorry. It's true. And if you don't know what's going on, you're going to be in trouble. And is that are going to be all right with you if something happens to your child? I think not. I think not. I think that we all, with our children, want to keep them safe and want them to be happy. And you can't do that unless you know everything that's going on. Now, on that note, I did a few shows ago tell you some of the statistics about how many kids take their own lives and how much of that kind of stuff is going on. And it's shocking. It is shocking. And you have to be aware. And, you know, when I was 12 years old, I asked somebody this the other day, and they said, yeah, I think it's been going on for a long time. I just don't think it was, blasted all over the TV. And, of course, when I was 12 years old, there weren't all the news shows. The Today Show didn't stay on for 6 hours in the morning or whatever it is. There wasn't a channel that you could turn to any time of the day and hear the international news and the local news. There was lots of I Love Lucy and Andy of Mayberry and all those kind of shows. And TV went off at night and came back on in the morning when I was real young. So all of our technology has brought us to a different place in this world, a much, much different place. So maybe it's true. Maybe years ago things like this were happening and people didn't know about it. Or maybe people pretended it was something else if a child took their own life or something like that. I don't know. I did try to find that out. I didn't see any statistics for like in the 40s and 50s of a child under the age of 15 taking their life. But today, it's in the news almost every day. Almost every day. So I need everybody to think about that and understand the ramifications of a 12-year-old taking their own life, of a 12-year-old being so unhappy with the way their life is going that they take their own life. And let's don't forget all the stories I've read about young girls who hurt themselves. Do you remember the story I told about the young girl that had been incarcerated for a while? Not in a prison, but in a rehab place. And she'd gotten in trouble, so it was kind of both, where they kept an eye on her mentally, kept an eye on her health-wise, kept an eye on her, but she also couldn't leave until a certain amount of time was up. And she was hiding razors in her teeth so that at any point in time, if she wanted to hurt herself, she could do that. And the stories I've read talk about how young girls think that cutting themselves takes them out of this unfeeling, uncaring, unexisting zone. And that's why they do it, to cause pain intense enough to wake them up or to bring them back to reality. Now, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine looking at my own body, my own wrist, and taking a razor blade and cutting into it. I just can't imagine it. And yet, young girls do it all the time. All the time. And I spent a bit of time recently with a young girl who has scars all the way up and down from the heel of her hand all the way up to her elbows. And like I said, it's not unusual. I'm not going to say it's the norm, but very sadly, it's not unusual. And any teenager you talk to can tell you about somebody that they know that hurts themselves in one way or another. again, I feel like I'm being very repetitious about this, but if there's anything that's going on in this world today that deserves to be talked about again and again and again and again until we bring it to a better place, it's suicide and children. We have to figure out a way to make our kids happier to be alive and not even thinking about taking their own life. So, the other thing that we were going to talk about is the finance, but Shelley hasn't joined us yet, and I will say a couple things about that, but we'll give her a few more minutes to get on with us. But I did want to let everybody know that this past week I got an email. I have a Gmail account, and I got an email telling me that Publishers Clearing House, my email was associated with a number, and I won $1 million. So, of course, I took it with a grain of salt, and I looked at the email, and it wanted information from me, but not my Social Security number. Didn't ask me for, I've had some ask me for me to go get a bank card from a Walmart and fill it out and send it to them and things like that, you know, and those are obviously scams. But this one had a director's name, and when I looked up Publishers Clearing House, indeed, it was the name of the director of Publishers Clearing House. And it had a website called Clearing, C-L-E-A-R-I-N-G, at Care CEO, CareCEO.com. And I went to that that email. I sent an email saying, who are you? What is this about? And it went through. So then I went to Publishers Clearing House website, which is quite a large website. And it has phone numbers that actually say, if you have any questions about anything you've received from Publishers Clearing House, you can call this number. So I did that. And once I read her off the numbers that were affiliated with this announcement for me becoming a millionaire, which was something that I would have been just happy with, fine and dandy with. So I read her off the numbers, and she said, I'm sorry, Mrs. Brewer, that's a scam. So I want to alert all of you. And then 2 days later, I get another announcement, different name this time on the email, but saying that I had won $1 million again. So please, everybody, I don't know what they want the information for. As I said, the information is not, there's no Social Security number involved, but I don't know. Maybe just with my name and my address, they can find out all they need to know. So please be careful. I did call. There is a number that she gave me from Publishers Clearing House that I could call and report that that it happened to me. So I did that. But please be aware and beware that that's going on. Now, what Shelley shared with me the other day is utilities. Florida Power and Light apparently has got the availability to help you with your utility bill if you're really in trouble. If you've lost your job, if you don't have any income, if you've taken sick or hurt yourself or had a car accident or any of the things that can happen to any one of us any given day, there is some kind of a fund set up. It doesn't go on for a really long time, but I believe Shelley mentioned to me they'll actually pay your bill for a couple months to keep you with power. It's some kind of a fund that is set up that helps out. So if there's anybody out there, and of course, of all the things that you can't live without, I would say electricity's up there in the top three. So there is that. And if you'll all remember when we talked a long time ago about the site called 211. 211, if any of you have ever looked up on that site and kind of checked it out, you'll find out that they have housing. They have all kinds of help for different concerns, anywhere from your health to your housing to your mental health to your inability to do anything. 211 has got a huge organization behind them, and they've kind of unified so that they have lots of help. They have emergency health care and emergency mental health care. They have emergency housing. They have all kinds of things that can help. So 211, easy to just call on any phone, and I believe, I hope I'm not saying something that isn't true, because I haven't looked lately, but I believe it's nationwide now, not international, but nationwide, that you can call 211 and get help. You can also call 211 if you know that somebody's being bullied or harassed or stalked or in any way, shape, or form in any kind of danger. You can report that as well. And with sites like that, I think we have an opportunity to make a difference as to what's going on in the world. And if you don't take that opportunity, that's kind of silly, because you do have a lot of people today are getting involved in, you know, in making the world a better place. So if you are in trouble, reach out. You know, it's good. It's good to reach out, and it's okay to always ask for help if you need it. And I think for most of us, we grow up thinking that you're supposed to, when you're an adult, you're supposed to stand on your own two feet, and you're supposed to do what you need to do on your own, etc., etc. But the truth of the matter is, if you need help, you should be able to ask for it. And I don't see any reason why any of you shouldn't be okay with that. So as well as the FPNL, I believe that there is there are some opportunities with some other things that you can call. If you live out here in the acreage, you have well water, so you almost always have water. But if you live someplace where there's a water company, then that can be an issue for you as well. So I'm going to see if I can find out about that, see if water has an emergency funding or anything like that so that we can share that. I'm sorry that Shelley didn't join us this morning because she was going, she did some research and was going to talk about this at length. So I think that the biggest thing that we can keep an eye on, though, today is doing something about the kids and making sure that everybody understands the worth of teaching our kids to get along with each other. And if you know of anybody that's being harassed or being bullied or anything is happening to them, you have to step in and help. Now, last Friday when we talked about finances and things like that, we talked about that because that's one of the things that instigates abuse, that instigates domestic abuse in essence. It's about the fact that, you know, when you can't pull everything together and keep bread and milk on the table and you can't pay the electricity bill and you're struggling because somebody's downsized and maybe you're not making the money that you used to make, or maybe you're just a time in your life when you've retired and now you haven't made all the plans that you should have made because life took over and you just didn't get to it, and now you're struggling to live on Social Security. There, here in Florida, there's a lot of places that can help you if you're living on Social Security. And I'm going to talk about one because it's the one that I'm involved in, and that's called Humana. And next week, I turn 65, so my Medicare kicks in. And if you're on Medicare and you do get sick or you have issues and you need prescriptions and things like that, you have an opportunity to purchase other parts of your Medicare that will cost you money through the government so that your pharmaceuticals and things like that, like blood pressure medicine, diabetes medicine, heart medicine, any of those kind of things that the doctor says you're going to have to start taking and probably take for the rest of your life, then that can become an issue, and that cuts down on that Social Security check. So there's companies out there, and I was lucky enough to meet a man that I had on the show one night who set me up with Humana. And Humana offers lots of other stuff. Humana offers the opportunity to be a part of an exercise community, HeartSmart opportunities, so that if you are lucky enough to still be in pretty good health, to keep yourself that way. And they also offer all kinds of opportunities to apply for discounts and things like that with different things, including eating out in restaurants. Or being a part of, like I said, like an exercise group or any place where you can go and get any kind of physical therapy or anything like that. So if you're approaching 65 and you're still working, which a lot of us are, you need to research this a little bit. And the year before you turn 65, you'll be bombarded by all kinds of people who will open this door for you and tell you about all the different options that you'll have in order to purchase. Or, in my case, Humana didn't cost me any additional money. As a matter of fact, the monies that would have come out of my Social Security check was reimbursed by the government because I went with Humana. So I'm one of the blessed 65-year-olds. I don't take any kind of medication. I'm not on any kind of blood pressure medicine or anything like that. But my husband is, and it can be significantly expensive. Even though a lot of the pharmacies today offer senior citizen discounts and stuff like that for people who don't have the additional coverage, there's lots of things out there to enlighten yourself about. So if you are sitting at home this morning and listening to the show and you are retired and you don't know how you're going to make ends meet and things like that, there are things out there. I will have another show within the weeks to come and have my new friend from Humana on the show so that he can answer questions and help everybody make the decisions that they need to make in regard to having enough coverage for that stuff. So let's kind of recap everything that we talked about just this morning. First of all, the poor young girl that took her life and the many just like her that we've read about or seen on the internet or on the news in the last several years in regard to what happens on the computer. And there's nothing like being able to say things and not have your face or your name beside it. It opens up the door for the immature, not just teenagers, but some adults too, that have no maturity to say god-awful mean things to somebody else and no repercussions because nobody knows really who they are. So hiding behind the computer and saying hateful things to somebody else seems to have become a way of life for a lot of people. Shame on you. If you're doing that to somebody else, shame on you. Life is too short, and we shouldn't be like that with each other. Now, the 211 number, as I said before, please go to that site and see if there's anything there that can help you if you're having any kind of struggles whatsoever. Remember what I told you about FPNL, because I believe FPNL does have funding set up so that they can help you if you're really struggling. If you just recently lost your job or you've been hurt and you can't work or anything like that is going on, don't be afraid to ask for help. If you're hospitalized and the nice lady comes around in the hospital room and asks you if you have coverage and what you have to take care of yourself because you're in the hospital, she is also equipped to be able to help you and open doors that are set up for people that are in trouble just like you, who can bring you to a better place as far as getting the kind of attention that you need, the kind of care that you need, and an opportunity to lessen the load a little bit so it's not quite so stressful if you don't have the kind of coverage you need. The other thing that I didn't talk about, but I will touch on because it's very near and dear to my heart, is hospice. Hospice is an amazing organization, and hospice doesn't send away anybody or turn away anybody or turn anyone down. If you have any kind of insurance, hospice is grateful to get insurance coverage if it's available. But if you don't have anything like that and you or a loved one is in that place and you need some help, they're wonderful. They not only can provide in-home health care. If you have an elderly person living with you that can't shower themselves and doesn't know how to do the daily routine of taking care of themselves, and you're trying to do it, but it's not so easy when you're the family member, hospice provides nursing care that comes to your home and helps you. In my tenure at the Institute, there were many times when someone was really, really ill and a long way from home, and hospice would come and help me do wound care, some of the medications and some of the wound medications and things like that they would help me with, and they were wonderful. But I would like to mention that because my son and his wife have had a pretty tumultuous last 4 or 5 years, they are taking care of my daughter-in-law's mom, who is in her 80s and suffers from Alzheimer's. She was one of the reasons that we had the show on Alzheimer's, because I felt there was a lot of confusion, and then I got some emails about comparing Alzheimer's to Parkinson's and to dementia, and they're all kind of linked together. But they have helped. Hospice has helped so many times. This week, my daughter-in-law, as we speak right now, is at Palms West. She had to have surgery this morning. She's okay, but she had to have some surgery, and of course, my son is with her, and my grandson is with his grandmother, and hospice is picking her up this morning and will keep her for a whole week to give my daughter-in-law the opportunity to get well after her surgery. She'll probably be home tomorrow, but they'll keep her for the week, and that's like an amazing respite for them, because taking care of someone who a good part of the time doesn't even remember who you are is very, very stressful. And they do a wonderful job with her, and there are many of the nursing staff that come to see Jean every day and bathe her, check her medications, do the blood pressure, do all that kind of stuff. Even though the kids do that on a regular basis, they get the help from hospice. So hospice is another amazing opportunity for people to take if you're in that kind of a place or in that kind of trouble. And if you don't understand, hospice has space in their facilities, or hospice will allow a person to be in their own home as long as there's sufficient care, because they don't stay around the clock, but they will come and visit with someone who is on the journey to pass into whatever you believe you pass into, and they will help with that transition. They're an amazing organization. I volunteer for hospice and have had an opportunity to be in a couple homes, and they even have young people who sing and go to the elderly folks' home and sing songs with them and have a wonderful time with them, play guitars. It's an amazing organization. They also have pet handlers that will take dogs and cats to the homes of the elderly, because it's proven on several occasions that the elderly respond to the pets, to the dogs and the cats. And you can take, you know, once you show hospice that you have a dog that's very well behaved, or a cat or something, then you can be a pet handler and take your pets to these homes where they would like to be able to sit and hold a lap puppy and pet them and give them a little bit of loving and everything. They also do that for you. So music, besides the healthcare, there's the music and there's the pets, and there's also chaplains and reverends that come and visit with folks and give them the opportunity to visit with their personal beliefs and have somebody do that with them. So I think it's a wonderful organization. So FPNL will help you. Hospice is amazing. And again, I will have another show about Humana and some of the other organizations that will help you make ends meet when you retire. If anybody has any questions about that, as I have said before, you can always Facebook me, Renee Brewer, on Facebook. I never turn anyone away. And you can also email me at renee.brewer91@gmail.com. That's reenie.brewer, brewer91@gmail.com. I also want to say that I have been still keeping an eye on some of the stories that we talked about a long time ago about Bailey, the young girl that fought for the right to have a gay-straight alliance. She won her battle. For those of you who may have missed me saying that on the show, she won her battle to make sure that she could have an after-school activity that aligned the gay kids and the straight kids, in the hopes that it would cut down a little bit on the bullying and the misunderstanding of each other. And I applaud her whenever I get the chance. I was incredibly proud of the fact that she was smart enough at such an early age to stand up for herself and put herself in a better place. I have also been keeping an eye on the young girl who is almost 19 now, who, so far as I know, is still sitting in jail because of her relationship with a girl younger than she is in a lesbian relationship, and she was actually incarcerated. And, of course, that put this story that I told about the teacher who raped the 14-year-old who eventually took her own life, only got 30 days. So trying to balance out those two stories in my own head, it was a little bit, like, what are people thinking kind of a place. But stories like that we read all too often, and then we have to scratch our heads as to figure out how somebody, I don't know, how they can be in that place. That doesn't understand that one is so much worse than the other. However, there was also looking through my notes here, there was also the story of Wayne Tracy. He's the young man who 4 years ago lost it, I guess I would say, and rode his bicycle over to another school and attacked a young girl and kicked her in the head and hurt her badly. I believe he got 30 years in prison, but just I never felt like that should have happened to him. The boys who attacked my grandson got 10 years in prison. They set him on fire, and this young man got 30 years. The young girl that he hurt will struggle probably for the rest of her life. But again, it was one of those kind of things that was just a horrible, horrible story, because he had found his own brother hanging from a tree, and nobody ever got him any help, and nobody ever got him any counseling. Nobody checked to make sure that he was dealing with the death and the suicide of his only brother. So that situation also snowballed out of control on a phone, texting on a phone between three teenagers. And now two of those teenagers' lives are changed forever, forever. And there will be no do-over, no backtracking, no nothing. Wayne is in prison, and the young girl involved will struggle with many things for the rest of her life. So sad, 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 but another time when faceless comments drove someone who was already struggling with what was going on in their personal life right over the edge. So people, I think we need to reevaluate everything, the way we talk to each other, the way we address each other. And it doesn't stop with teenagers. I've talked about bullying in the workplace. I've talked about the fact that I was bullied in a place that I loved with my heart and soul. And I got ganged up on, and with people who were jealous of my standing and pushed me right out. And it happens to a lot of people. So let's try harder to make things better. And again, as I told some of my teenagers yesterday, you can only change one person, and that's you. So I want to wish everybody a great day. I'm sorry Shelley didn't join us this morning. We'll have to do that show with some of her information about helping with finances on another day. I'm hoping tomorrow to get a special guest on the show that I have been friends with since her son and my grandson were both struggled with bad things happening to them. And she's a teacher, and she's lovely, and I'm hoping to get her on the show one morning so that she can share a little bit about her journey with her own son. So I want everybody to go out there and have a great day today. If you're here in the state of Florida, we're looking at some nasty weather again today, although I must tell you I'm in my office, and I have a skylight in my office, and the sun is shining through, and it looks beautiful right now. So that's Florida for you, though. That could change in 3 minutes. So everybody have a great, great day. I will be back tomorrow morning. I appreciate you stopping by, and whenever anybody wants to talk, all you have to do is call 347-989-0352. I'm here, and I'm listening. So God bless to all of you. Have a great day. I'll be here tomorrow morning. Bye-bye.